Hi again, I'm Sean Kelly, the voice of the Gators, and this is the Gator Tales Podcast with Sean Kelly. Welcome to episode number 32. Greetings from the swamp in Gainesville, Florida, where just in a matter of days, the academic semester will be winding down. Final exams are about to come upon all the students here on campus and, of course, our student athletes as well. I've been pretty busy myself on the road with a couple of Gators caravans. We've made stops here in Gainesville and in Orlando. We'll be in Fort Lauderdale next week. And so far, the message from football coach Billy Napier has been well received. It is going to be a different football team that we see on the field this coming fall. Keep an eye on FloridaGators.com for more caravan stops coming your way. Back off the road, Florida Gators Gymnastics. They competed for a national championship this past weekend in Fort Worth, Texas. And once again, Jenny Rowland's team fares well. They finished fourth in the country and an overall record of 29-8 on the year. They were 6-1 in the SEC, won the regular season championship, qualified in the Elite Eight to get to the Final Four on Sunday. And at the end of the season, the Gators have four All-Americans with nine All-American honors and a couple of champions as well. We'll get to all those honors, awards, and recap the season here shortly. Head coach Jenny Rowland stops by our podcast this week just in front of the team's final banquet of the year to talk about another extremely successful season. Rowland, again, the only coach in the Southeastern Conference with more than 200 career wins actively right now. My NBA travels have taken me through several cities covering the first round of the NBA playoffs. It has proven to be beneficial thus far for this podcast. Last weekend in Denver, Colorado, I had the Los Angeles Lakers versus the Denver Nuggets. That gave me the chance to catch up with our good friend Colin Castleton. Castleton, after being here with me at Florida last year, went on to Summer League last year in Las Vegas and shined and got himself a two-way contract with the Los Angeles Lakers. Castleton, while at Florida, was a first-team All-SEC center in 2023, two-time second-team All-SEC in 2021 and 22. Castleton has had a dream come true, getting to play in the NBA, did so with regular season work, in-season tournament games, and of course time with the G League's South Bay Lakers. A quick visit with Castleton while we were together in Denver, Colorado. Kenna McGinnis, UF student, prior to final exams, has another Kenna on campus. She'll go through the results of the Gators over the last week. And Scott Strickland is back for another edition of Ask the AD. So with that, let's get started, and we'll begin with Gators Gymnastics and head coach Jenny Rowland. Gator Tales with Sean Kelly is presented by UF Health. UF Health has locations throughout Florida, including Gainesville, Jacksonville, St. Augustine, Leesburg, and the Villages, and we're growing. Compassionate care and world-class outcomes, that's our game plan. Visit ufhealth.org to learn more. Our podcast is also brought to you by Pet Paradise. Gator fans, for pet fanatics like you, there's only one place who goes all out for your pet the way you do. Boarding, grooming, day camp, and veterinary services all in one convenient location. Pet Paradise and New Day Veterinary Care. Finally, complete pet health care is here for Gator Nation. Let's start our Gators gymnastics conversation with just a couple of notes. 29-8 overall, 6-1, first place in the SEC, regular season champs. Go all the way to the Final Four. Or let me back up. The eight semifinal teams in Fort Worth, work your way to the Final Four, finish fourth in the nation. All-Americans who were honored nine times. The list goes on and on. But Jenny Rowland now has had a couple of days, or a couple of sleeps, I should say, in her return with the Gators from Fort Worth, Texas. What have you thought about over the last 48 to 72 hours regarding your team's season this year?
Just how in constant awe I am of reminiscing and remembering where this team started and where this team finished. We just had our final team meeting of the season, and we did that. They did that, and it's something that nobody can ever take away from this team. And there were so many doubters of what people thought the ability or the level or how far this team would go. And yet the coaches knew from the beginning that it could be a really good team. And it was something that we as a coaching staff tried to instill in our athletes. And you saw it. They grew up in front of our eyes over a season, and just did their thing and couldn't be more proud.
Was it doubt or were there just questions, those around this program?
Oh, I think there were both on the outside, mm-hmm. not on the inside. I don't read the outside. I keep that quiet in my world. But on the inside, you know, whenever you have six freshmen come in, on paper, everything, it looks fantastic and it looks great. And at the same time, we know we've been doing this long enough that you've got to give those young women a little bit of grace to figure out what college is all about and who they are and what they stand for and how are they going to navigate college. So there were questions, you know, on the staff, and it's something that we always tell our teams, don't count on the freshmen, you know, because we've got to allow them that grace period. And yet this freshman class just said, watch us, you know, look at us go. So
amazing. And somebody asked me about your team the other day, and I could be dead wrong on this. I just said, I just felt like all along they were a year ahead of where they thought they might be. Was that a fair assessment of this group by what they achieved finishing fourth in the country?
Really? Very, very fair statement. And especially, you know, our seasoned veterans, a lot of them were seasoned in some ways, but not in others, because, again, they may have been like a freshman, sophomore. Ellie and V were not natural all-around competitors. Ellie had been hurt since her freshman year. V, never in her life, except for one meet her junior year, and that was the national championship meet. Sloan had been a senior, seasoned, I'd say, all-around veteran. So really, and Leanne as well. Other than that, we were relying on a lot of new, a lot of pressure situations where we were just a little unsure, you know, how these young women were going to be able to handle it. And I tell you, they were just solid.
The young competitors conversation probably has to start with Anya Pilgrim, right? Five-time SEC Freshman of the Week, all-freshman team in the conference as well, performs sky high, electric at the Nationals as well. What was different about her than maybe some other freshmen you've had over the years?
She came in already knowing what she was going to accomplish, how she was going to do it, and never swayed from what she believed in and how she was going to do it. She did have some curves along the way, a different path, an international path along the way that just kind of threw a curveball at her, handled it with so much grace. And yet something that I will always remember in her press conference at NCAA Nationals was that NCAA Nationals is her Olympics. And that's what she always dreamed of competing in and being able to compete successfully. And she couldn't have been more proud.
How rare is that perspective?
Extremely rare.
My gosh.
An 18-year-old, I mean, just as wise as wise can be. And just, you know, really, really helps keep things into perspective. So really, just a lot of respect for her maturity, her grace, her presence of where she is at that moment, and her dedication to truly staying true to herself.
We had a conversation right before the season started on this podcast and started to try and prognosticate a little bit, or preview the team, maybe the better term. I think in that conversation, Leanne Wong was going to be the headline. Mm-hmm. Did she live up to being the headliner for the Gators this year?
Most definitely. Leanne Wong, led this team with a lot of grace, a lot of poise. And you know what? Everybody has their own challenges, you know, throughout their career, throughout each year, throughout each season. And her challenge to balance in her mind, in the gym, you know, NCAA training, Olympic training. One of those is not easy to do, much less multiple. Oh, and just add a business on top of it. But most importantly, add student in front of the athlete, making all A's. Really, it's just incredible to even fathom that when I was that age, I was not accomplishing 1% of that at that moment in time.
Yeah, no, I was thinking the same thing myself, Jenny, because I think at some point my father told me that most people who are in college as long as you, Sean, are generally called doctor, but that was not the case with me. Jenny, when you look at the arc of a season, there's always going to be some great high. There's always usually some big piece of adversity, a low, if you will, along the way. Do you have a story about each? Is there a moment that you can mark as maybe the highest of highs for this team this season? And what was perhaps the most adverse situation for this group going through it all?
I like to say peaks and valleys.
Yeah.
I would say our valley was probably SEC championships. It wasn't a bad valley to be in, but it didn't taste good leaving, knowing that, oh, we were just a few tenths shy, you know, of a championship, yet we knew we were capable of more. And truly, I think that was the turning point of the season that kind of just sparked a little bit more of a fire in this team to really hone in and, you know, push through a really strong finish this season. So I'd say that was the valley. A peak, truly, I'd have to say us hosting our regional championships and the team just truly embracing what pressure is and making it look really easy.
Yeah. How did you grow as a coach this year?
Oh, that's a great question. I'd say this team helped me understand and truly embrace the word trust. Mm. It is my word of my year. And this team showed me practice what we preach, you know, trust the process, you know, trust that, you know, what you're doing, it's everything's going to work out. And I'd say this team, you know, taught me that lesson this year.
It's nice to have you answer that as candidly as you did. You have over 200 wins. The Final Four is, as the kids would say, it's the reg for this program, Jenny. But yet the sport changes over time. Mm-hmm. And I think that you just said that you yourself had to change a little bit with this group. Mm-hmm. You'll grow from it as well.
Absolutely.
Let me ask you, growth is the thing and the drumbeat never stops. You mentioned earlier that you had your team meeting, your end of season meeting with your gymnast today. Mm-hmm. What was your message for them heading into their quote unquote off season?
Yeah. Summer is a time for these young women to truly, you know, find a balance in their life. It's a time where, you know, physical, mental health is of utmost importance for this team, for anybody in life. Taking care of yourself, mm-hmm. That's so important. And to be intentional, you know, throughout the summer, just like they did this entire season. And, you know, making the most of every opportunity they have, trying to continue to get 1% better. That was kind of our motto for the year, you know, for the season, get 1% better, 1% better. Okay, they put themselves in a great position last year to have the success that they did this year. So here's an opportunity. What are you going to do for yourself to put you in a position to have even better success next year?
Well said. Not so simple, but well said.
Not so simple.
No.
Well said and exciting because everybody has a choice. You know, summer is not driven at all by the coaches, and each of these young women have a choice to determine and dictate, you know, what direction they want to go in.
Jenny Rowland, let me make one more assumption. It's always dangerous, but I put myself on the edge of the cliff a lot. It sounds to me like the upcoming team banquet will be full of joy, rightfully so. Good assumption on my part?
It will definitely be filled with joy and lots of great sushi.
There's something I didn't see coming. Congratulations, Coach, on a great, great year.
Thank you so much. Go Gators.
I wasn't sure when my next meeting with Colin Castleton was going to be. I'm not so sure I would have guessed Denver, Colorado before game one of round one of the NBA playoffs. It's great to see you, my Gator.
Oh, you too. Definitely great to see you as well. It's like a full circle moment, so it's cool to see both of us here.
Congratulations. A dream came true for you this year. Was it everything you wanted it to be?
Yeah, just really just a growth experience, learning from all the older guys on the team. So really just soaking everything I can in. In year one and just getting ready for, you know, my future. I don't know what it holds, but I'm just excited for, you know, this little playoff run we're going to have. So,
time with the G League and time with the big team, too. What was it like that first night as a Los Angeles Laker for you?
Great. I actually scored my first NBA basket in November in Orlando. So, like, it was a cool moment with my family, my friends, everybody who's been with me for the longest. So, being able to score my first basket in Orlando was probably my best moment of my rookie year. And then the in-season tournament was crazy. But playing between the G League and the NBA just really just makes you manage your time way better, being on a schedule where you're flying back and forth with the teams. So it's definitely a big schedule change, but I'm ready for it, and I've been able to just attack it every day.
What did you learn about yourself, Colin?
Just being this far away from home before. Like, in Michigan, that was when I was the furthest away, but just being in L.A., never been out west, like, being from Florida my whole life. Just getting acclimated to, like, the food, the traffic is crazy in L.A., so being able just to adjust to that. But other than that, just enjoying, you know, my first year.
What's one thing about being a pro that you didn't maybe realize was going to be a part of the job?
Really the two-way, like, situation, like, knowing on the day-to-day schedule that you're with both teams. Like, I knew a little bit about it, but then once you get acclimated after summer league and really jump into it, it's like nonstop, and it really just gets you better. I guess just the player development aspect, there's a lot of different things within the actual basketball game that have been an adjustment, really just different rules and techniques guys have in the league versus college. So there's little things I've learned, but the biggest is just the adjustment with, like, the pace of play, probably.
Okay, so you're like the closest thing that I've ever been to, like, really having a friend that is a teammate of LeBron James. I mean, I've known Anthony Davis a long time, but what's it like to be a teammate of maybe one of the greatest to ever do it?
It's amazing. Like I said in the beginning, just being able to grow from him, learn from him, because he's been doing it for 21 years since I was a little kid. So he's been doing it my whole life, watching him throughout the years. When I lived in Miami, like, I used to go to games up in the bleachers watching him when I was like 12 with my mom. So being able to just have that like full circle moment, just being able to play with him every day, watch how he, you know, attacks his workouts, his eating habits, like, you just see it all. So being able to learn from him and just be like a close step away is great.
Give me an example of things that he has said to you over the last 8 months.
He'll just give me little pointers. We crack jokes here and there, like on the plane or like in the locker room, but every time I'm in the weight room, he's in there, so we always see each other. He just tells me to keep going, and he sees me working hard. So, you know, he's a good veteran to have and, you know, amazing teammate.
Did you get to watch much of your old team, the Florida Gators, over this past season?
Yeah, for sure. I was locked in. I was obviously far away, so the time change is a little different when I was in L.A., but I was always able to catch the games, and I was always watching from afar. Super proud of them and the year they had. You know, they did a great job going to a tournament. Coach Golden is doing nothing but great things there. So that's already what I knew, you know, when I was there with him and his vision. I fully believed in it, and he's doing everything he says he's going to do, and they have a lot more to show.
We're all very proud of you. Keep going. Good luck to you, Colin.
Appreciate that.
It's always great to be back with Scott Strickland, and we do another edition of Ask the AD on this week's Gator Tales podcast with Sean Kelly. Scott, the orange and blue football game presented by Florida Victorious is now in the rearview mirror. Time to reflect back a little bit, perhaps. What changes made in the football program this offseason do you feel will be the most beneficial in this ever-changing landscape?
probably easier to talk about the ones that I'm most excited about. And I see it, you know, obviously a little more behind the scenes, if you will. You know, we've talked often about the great job Coach Napier does at building culture and trying to piece a roster together deliberately and with a purpose. But you know, the easy area to point to is the defense, because we saw some personnel changes there that could have a direct impact. I think a lot of things have happened on that side of the ball that are very positive. The coaching changes I just mentioned, the changes in the weight room and the strength and conditioning and nutrition program, it's going to impact our whole team, but defensively, because the physicality that side of the ball requires, it could have an even greater impact. And so that's number two. Number three, the fact that unit was so incredibly young relative to who we competed against a year ago. And they've gotten older and more experienced. In addition to those other things, I'm excited because there are opportunities on that side of the ball to make a big impact. And, you know, for the Gators to get where we want to get to compete for championships, that side of the ball has got to make big strides. And I think they're positioned to do so this year.
Plenty of more offseason to go. The opener against Miami will be here before we know it. Scott, thanks as always, and go Gators.
Go Gators.
And now, let's get you up to speed on how several Gators teams have performed over the last week. University of Florida student Kenna McGinnis is back with another edition of Kenna on Campus.
Thanks, Sean. Let's get into it. Gator softball spent the past week at home. They faced South Carolina over the weekend for another SEC series. Florida won on Friday 11-6, lost on Saturday 6-2, and clinched the series on Sunday 7-6. Just this Wednesday, number 12 Florida hosted in-state rival number 16 Florida State. The Gators lost 12-3. Here's what head coach Tim Walton had to say post-game.
Just got to do a better job getting prepared and practice trained and doing the things we need to do to over one game. And so just thought we got to young group, and you know, we're going to make mistakes, and it's not uncommon for a younger team at times to have that in. So we just got to do a better job preparing.
Away in Nashville last weekend, Florida baseball lost their series against Vanderbilt. The 13th-ranked Commodores bested the Gators 10-5 on Thursday, 5-2 on Friday, and gave up a loss on Saturday, 6-2 Gators. They succeeded in their matchup against Stetson on Tuesday, final score reading 13-3. Florida had 7 home runs in front of over 5,000 here in Gainesville. The men's and women's tennis teams' runs in the SEC tournaments have come to an end. Men's tennis fell in the quarterfinal to Tennessee. The 6th-ranked Volunteers held the Gators to only 1 point in the dual match on Friday. Women's tennis lost in the semifinals on Sunday. Their 11-game winning streak was snapped by Texas A&M. Both teams now look onward to appearances in the 2024 NCAA tournaments. The Gators' gymnastics season has officially come to an end. Florida finished the season in 4th place at the NCAA championship on Saturday afternoon. A win would have been their 4th national title, but LSU's win is the SEC's 4th team to claim one. This marks the SEC as the only other league with more than one team claiming national titles. With the season over, Gators Gym will spend the offseason preparing for next year. Lastly, 9th-ranked Gators lacrosse has acquired their 14th straight win. On Saturday, Florida dominated over Cincinnati and ended the game with the final score of 18-6. They remain undefeated in conference play and have secured themselves at least a share of the AAC regular season title. This has been Kenna on Campus. I'm Kenna McGinnis.
And that's a wrap for episode number 32. Thank you, Kenna. And Kenna, good luck on final exams coming up this next week. Big thanks to this episode's guest, Colin Castleton of the Los Angeles Lakers, and Jenny Rowland, head coach of Gators Gymnastics. Speaking of Florida Gators Gymnastics, don't forget to check out Scott Carter's work, Carter's Corner, focusing on the gymnastics season this week, right now, available at FloridaGators.com. Want to also thank Scott Strickland for another edition of Ask the AD. And, of course, a big thank you to our presenting sponsors, UF Health and Pet Paradise. I'm Sean Kelly. Thank you for being a part of our Gator Week as well. We wish you the best in the coming days. We'll see you right back here next time on the Gator Tales podcast with Sean Kelly. As always, we finish by saying, go Gators!